Hello, Queens Club. How are you doing? We are going to do some coaching. If somebody from my team is here, I cannot remember. Let me pull up. I cannot remember if we did. I'm in the wrong app. I can't remember if I'm supposed to call on people who were pre-selected or what am I doing for this call? No, I'm not. All right. You get to just raise your hand. For some reason, I was thinking that there was a pre-selection. I'm like, what is this about? All right. If you want to get coached, now's the time to raise your hand. This is the Queen's Club call, which means that you've lost 25 pounds or more. You can have either done it with me or you could have done it on your own. And you get a special call each month. You get a special Facebook group. We do all the special things. So raise your hand if you want to get coached. We got one person. Let's go. Number 884. We will get moving. All right. Let's get you unmuted and get your video going.
Oops.
Somebody asked, is there a solution for the Zoom iPad? Not yet. Zoom has told us that they will be having a solution. I believe it's not until September. So this is an official Zoom problem at this point. All right. I tell you what, do I have a coach or Vern? Do you care if I bring you on screen? I'm thinking that that helps. Vern, do you care if I bring you on screen and you can just take your camera off since you're going to be here? All right. Can we get your camera going, 884?
Okay. Okay. Hi.
There you are. All right.
Hi.
What's your name?
My name is Emily. Thank you,
Karen. All right, Emily. I didn't want to call you 884.
That's all right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So what are we coaching on?
Okay. So I had lost all of my weight. I was at goal for maybe 2 years. And
well, good for you.
Thank you. And then I found out my 22-year-old daughter is pregnant, and I realized that's a circumstance, and it's all my thoughts. And even though I know all of that, it feels very difficult for me to stop eating off plan and overeating.
Okay. So one of the first things you have to do is like really understand that my daughter is pregnant, and me eating means there's thoughts and feelings in between. It has nothing to do with the pregnancy. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, let me ask you this. When you lost all of your weight, did every time you followed the plan, did you go like, well, thank God my daughter's not pregnant because I don't think I could do it. Like,
no.
Did you like think all the time like, she has no baby. This is why I'm losing weight. Did you do that?
No.
So this is how we know your daughter's pregnancy has nothing to do with your overeating or your ability to lose weight. Like her fertility in the moment is not a cause of this. Now, I'm sure you've got thoughts that are going on about this. So if you think the triggering event is, okay, I've noticed, are you gaining weight? Like
yes.
What's happening?
So the days that she told me, I went and got all of these foods that I used to binge on and started binging that day and kind of haven't stopped.
Okay. So why? What were your thoughts about her telling you so daughter tells me I'm pregnant and my due line on the think, feel, do cycle is go buy binge foods and eat. So what did you think when she told you that?
I thought that I did not do a proper job of instilling in her that I wanted her to make her own way to be able to support her own child and herself before having a baby. I made it mean that I'm a bad mother.
I'm a bad mother. So my daughter comes and tells me I'm pregnant and you're like, well, I'm a bad mother.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm sure that feels like shit.
Really does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you a bad mother?
I have some evidence to say that I'm not, but.
Okay. Well, tell me that evidence.
Well, they made it through high school, so they have food in their bellies and a roof over their head. So,
what else what makes you a good mother?
I feel like I've worked very hard to provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, Corinne, there's another layer to this, and I'll try to keep it very brief. But okay. I think it's probably the underlying thing, and that is that when I was 16, I was pregnant, and I did not keep the baby, and I have a lot of shame and remorse over that. So I feel like there is a lot of that going on as well.
Okay.
So having said that, I feel like not only am I not a good mother, but I'm not a good example. She is doing the right thing. I feel a lot of remorse.
Okay. So let's just focus on one power thought that you actually have. You're just not letting yourself have it, which is I'm a bad mother.
Okay.
Rather, you could be thinking about my daughter's doing the right thing. I must have done something right. Okay. Because if in your mind, and I'm not saying, like, I'm not going to take a stance on abortion or anything like that, but you know, we don't have to go there. All we have to do is figure out how you want to be thinking and feeling. Okay. And if the thought she's doing the right thing, how does that make you feel?
That makes me feel better. That makes me feel like she's a badass and maybe more of one than I am. And I want to support her. And yeah, that does feel better to think that she's doing the right thing.
You have a host of things that you have a host of things that you could be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a host of things that I want to just tell you, it's natural for your brain to want to offer them up. What I want you to do is to learn how to separate from them.
Okay.
Your brain's probably not going to stop. Like if you've been having shame and remorse over a decision you made at 16,
mm-hmm.
you have some work to do on your end on going back and basically putting yourself in the mindset of a 16-year-old.
Okay.
And allowing, like from your lens now, grace and compassion. Because what we end up doing when we have decisions that we don't like in our past, what we do is we kind of use our current day self to go back and we don't heal the relationship with that person who made that decision. We go back and we just sit there and we're like, well, let's have a kumbaya about what a terrible mother we are and how we should just like, you know, regret all of our decisions. It's like day in and day out, we fondle terrible stories and terrible feelings about it.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
You have the opportunity, because I want you to just see you've got two very separate situations going on. You've got the work around the pregnancy that you had and mm-hmm. the decision you made and how you want to move forward with it. Mm-hmm. And when your daughter got pregnant, all it did for you internally was bring that story to light that you've never repaired.
Mm.
It's putting on display your shame, your regrets, what you wish you had done different and all this other stuff. And it's manifesting like, I'm a terrible mother, like me, 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 bad, bad, bad. And yet you told me, well, my daughter's a badass. I'm so proud of her. Yeah. She's making the right decision. Yeah. Like I must have done some kind of a decent job because look at how she's reacting to her situation in a way that maybe you wish you had, but we don't need to go back and be like, you know, she's better than me. But just saying like, what if you did such a good job with her that the decision that you wish you could have made, she's now being able to make it.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll think that on purpose and I'll do some more journaling on that.
Well, let me just ask you, how would you like to think about your 16-year-old self?
I would like to think that, she did what she could with the resources she had at the time. And, she didn't really know the effects, the consequences or what to do. I would like to have compassion for her, and sometimes I do, but a lot of times I don't. A lot of times I feel just very, a lot of like just judgment of her, but I would like to forgive her and move on. And
well, here's the thing I want you to think about. Does she need forgiveness?
I don't know.
I mean, I want you to really just sit with that for a second. She's 16.
Yeah.
She's trying to figure it out with a 16-year-old brain.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a life-changing event happening.
Right.
At 16.
Yeah.
Does she need to be forgiven? Can I just tell you my personal opinion? I could coach you all day on this, but I just want to tell you my personal opinion. My mama was 17. So, right. I mean, either way, I look at kids that are like 16 and stuff, and whether we agree with decisions or not are so irrelevant. But here we are in the present day. Somebody at 16 years old, I don't want to tell them that they've got to apologize and be forgiven for something that they probably were never well equipped to make the decision to begin with anyway.
No.
She probably needs more of your love and your understanding.
Okay.
And if it was me, I'd be going back to the 16-year-old and saying, hey, I got you now. I know how scared you were. I know how overwhelming this had to have been. Yeah. And we've turned out okay.
Okay.
And we've even mothered someone
who's
making amazing decisions and that we're proud of.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anything else I can help you with? I hate to just leave you crying.
No. I think that it's just been a lot of things to tie these two together is fascinating to me. And to know that a lot of my real work involves my 16-year-old self to kind of get back to where I was. I'm just about 10 pounds away from my original weight when I joined in September of 18, and I'd lost 55 pounds. So it's quite a bit of weight that I've gained in a short amount of time. Maybe that's a thought, but it feels true to me.
Your thought could be I've had a trauma response.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be natural that while I'm sorting it out, that I went to the one thing that I have always known that can take my mind off of it. And now I know what to start looking at, and I know how to get to the other side. You could be thinking about that, and don't worry about the 10 pounds. Unload the emotional weight first, and then it will get easier to get back into the weight loss groove. But I think right now we got to unload this emotional burden you're carrying.
Right. But it's actually like 40 pounds that I've gained since February.
All right. So what?
Okay.
Like you're saying like, oh, wait, no, Corinne, you're going to change your mind. Now that I've given you a new number, you're going to be like, oh my God, we got to feel bad now.
Okay.
Y'all all do that to me all the time. Like, no, it was 40. As if I was just going to be like, okay, go to the corner, the no-BS corner, put your nose in it.
Arguing for my pain, as you say.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The same story holds water, which is, I want you to think about, when you were 16, that was probably very traumatic for you to go through emotionally. I don't know how old you are now. How old are you now?
52.
If at 52, you're still living the pain of it, and you're still having shame, and you're still having regret, it's like now it's turned into a significant traumatic event in your life because you've made it traumatic for so many years. And now you've got something in your life that's highlighting it.
Okay. Makes sense.
I promise all of you, I don't care how much weight you lose. And we are, when I say we're going to lose our weight and we're going to lose it for life, that doesn't mean that you don't have times in your life where you may go back to overeating or you may gain a few pounds and stuff. It means we're going to lose it for life because we're going to learn the skills to be able to always be able to keep it off for life, which means if we gain 40 pounds, we've gained the skill of being able to figure out something's wrong. I can tell. I just need to figure this part out. I need to heal this. And then, I've got the skills to lose it.
Okay. And I just want to underscore that it's so important what you teach us about loving yourself on the way down the scale, because I do know that I did not do that. So I want to just reiterate that for anybody who didn't catch it like I didn't. But thank you. I will work on all of this.
Yeah, we have a, if you go to the weight loss resources section of the website, mm-hmm. I did a video and we have a rewriting your past worksheet. Okay. Maybe start there.
Okay.
I don't know if it's in your budget. You don't have to tell me. You can just make this decision on your own. But we have a one-on-one coaching program.
Yeah.
It might help to maybe have a coach who can work with you over the next 3 months to kind of rewrite the path, like get this part solved for mm-hmm. you. And mm-hmm. also so that you get to enjoy this amazing daughter that you're proud of, who makes the decisions that you're just like, I'm in lockstep with you on this.
Okay.
You know, it sucks to not enjoy this daughter.
Right. It does.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another option. And if you don't have that option, always take your work to Ask Coaches. Every day you can write something to them and every day they will respond to you.
Okay. Thank you so much. And happy belated birthday. And your hair is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you so much, Karen. Bye.
All right. Does anybody else want to get coached? I have no hands raised. Oh, wait. No, I do. Lisa Hickey, you got your hand up. So if you want coaching, you need to raise your hand. And Emily Vern just put in the chat, she linked you to the Rewriting Your Past PDF. I believe also, Vern, isn't there a video that goes with, I think maybe the video is in the PDF. Okay, Lisa, what are we coaching on?
Hi, I have been having this recurring thought over the last few weeks about how I want to have a pig out. Like I want a pig out.
Okay.
And I know it's just a sentence in my head and it keeps coming up and I haven't given into it. And sometimes I almost feel like I'm white knuckling, not doing it. And there's, and I've been,
how do you know you're white knuckling? How do you know you're using willpower?
I think because the thought keeps coming back. Like it seems like it's,
that doesn't mean you're willpowering.
Okay. Because I just feel like I really want to do it, but I don't. Like,
right, that's called normal.
Oh.
Well, sometimes I really want to jack slap somebody at the grocery store and I don't do it. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons I don't go to the store, people piss me off all the time.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm wondering then too is because I'm 2 pounds from my goal weight and maybe it'll be even more weight after that. I don't know. And I am so incredibly delighted with myself.
Yeah.
At losing my weight. I wear tank tops in public.
Yeah.
I would never even wear them around my house because my fat arms, like, and everything about my life is just better. My marriage is better. Like, I'm just so happy. Yeah. So I guess I wonder, like, is it a bad thing? And I know it's just a thought. Is it a bad thing if I just have a pig out meal?
Is it a bad thing to have a pig out meal?
Yeah.
Or is it a bad thing to want to? There's two different questions.
I know that wanting it, because I've been observing that thought, like, okay, well, I've been wanting. Now, is it just because I'm coming to the end of my goal and it's time to break the routine and take a break from what I'm doing, even though I love what I'm doing?
Or it could just be your brain every time you've lost. Have you ever lost weight before?
I have, yes. I've been actually.
It could just be a habit thought. Because you're used to, after the end of a diet, going out and having a pig out meal. It literally could just be something as silly as my brain thinks that it's just like the GPS is saying, turn left. We always have.
Okay.
So let me ask you this, but this is interesting. So here's the first thing I want you to realize is that just wanting to do something or thinking about it or whatever, like there's never been a time that I have driven down Nolensville Road and passed McDonald's and thought, woo, I sure do miss them fish fillets. Oh, that would be good. Like I always want one. When we go, like when we'll go to restaurants, a lot of times, like after I order, I will look at stuff and think, I bet that would be great. And I'm not lying. I would like to have them. Sometimes I even want it, but I don't. But I don't tell myself I can't have it. I don't tell myself, oh, you should never think those things. And like, I can't believe after 15 years, you're sitting around thinking about food you shouldn't have. Like, I don't do any of that. I just think it's part of the normal human experience that if something looks fucking tasty, you want it. I don't think that's weird at all.
Okay.
It's not weird until we make it weird. So there's that part of it. Okay. Now here's the second part. You said, I really want to. Do you, like, let's just get curious. Do you really want a pig out meal?
Part of me does from a place of curiosity. What would it be like to have a pig out meal again? Would I actually enjoy it as much as I think I used to?
Okay. Well, you could have one and solve that one real fast.
Okay.
Or you could just decide you never, like, this is the, what's curious is you think you've got to have the meal to know if you enjoy it. I think eating is something that we do and we either feel enjoyment based on how we think or not. So like you could just decide, you know, in the past, I don't know that I ever really enjoyed it. I probably didn't. I probably told myself I did to justify it. I probably identified that I did. But if I wasn't enjoying, like, what else did I feel? You can always go back and think, all right, so every time that I overate and I pigged out, what was the part of the experience outside of enjoyment was also happening? So can you tell me anything that also came along for the ride when it, other than weight gain?
Well, mostly it was shame and really self-loathing because it's...
Oh, wow, so you weren't enjoying it.
The taste
you were eating it. Right. And delaying the thoughts. And then after you're like, let me just eat real fast. Let me just get a lot of food in. Let me distract myself with the taste. So I don't have to think about all the things I'm going to think about the actual meal. So there was no enjoyment. There was like, it was distraction.
Yeah. Okay.
There probably was some things that like tasted good. But I bet you weren't laying there in ecstasy the entire time. Like, think about, I want you to think back to a pig out meal. And I've had plenty of them. What were the parts that weren't full of ecstasy and enjoyment in the middle of it?
Well, knowing that it wasn't really solving, and it wasn't solving anything. It was just, it was truly mindless eating. That's why I love the no BS, because I'm eating very consciously now. Like, I love the plan. So I think reframing it that this is just what my brain would do near the end of reaching a goal just puts it more into perspective. Like, oh, hello, little habit brain thought. That's not what we do anymore. So,
but what, why do you, like, let me ask you this. Like, when you think about, I just want a pig out, what is so alluring about it for you now?
Because then I don't have to just stop when I've had enough. Like, I can just keep going.
So what's bad about stopping at enough now?
Well, not a single thing, because...
Okay, so why do you need to keep eating? Like, I want you to listen the way you said it. Because if I pig out, I won't have to just stop at enough. If you were like, if there's no bad thing about it, why would you need to keep going? Why would enough not be perfect?
I know I've heard you talk about this before, I'm sure. Like, sometimes I just want to be, I want to be like a normal person who doesn't have to, like someone who just automatically stops at enough and doesn't have to think about it. Like, I'm always thinking, have I had enough? Like, maybe I'm going to just have this much and then I'll have this much and then I'm going to stop. Like, I just, sometimes I get a little, you know, poopy diaper and I'm like, well, I just want to be like people who don't have to think about it. And they just
so
stop.
So let me ask you, you think that normal eaters don't think about when to stop eating?
Well, when I look at my husband, who's...
You don't think his brain, like, so he must be taken over by an alien when he eats, a thin alien. Who does all the thinking for him? You don't think his brain ever goes like, I think we're done. I think we've had enough.
Well, it does. And I think.
Yeah.
It just. He doesn't have to think about it. He just does it.
No, he can't do a damn thing unless a spirit, a demon or an alien has taken over his body. He can't actually perform an action. until a thought has entered his brain.
Yeah, I
disagree. The only difference between you and your husband is right now, you have to consciously think it mm-hmm. and teach yourself eventually over time to put it into the habit brain.
Yeah.
Your husband's, it's just in his habit brain now. So he doesn't have to sit there and size it up. So he has the thoughts. They're just coming up more automatically than you. So if the goal is like, this is the thing, if the goal for you, which it sounds like is, I just want to be like a normal eater where I just stop it enough. Like I don't have to think as much about it. Then you're going to have to keep thinking about it until your brain really learns, oh, this is just what we do.
Yeah.
Pig out meal doesn't help. Right now you're seeking a pig out meal to relieve yourself of like, I just wish I wasn't thinking so much about it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Totally.
And I want you to just tell yourself, one day I won't have to think so much about it. And right now, I would much rather, right? This is the funny thing. You have so much like good shit happening because you're thinking about it. And you even said, like, I enjoy food better. Like, it's so much more freeing. It has all these things, all these benefits coming along. It's like, why not just think about it?
Okay.
I think the only things that's stopping you is I think you have an idea that you're thinking about it, that you think, well, that's tiring. Well, that's not normal. Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
All of those thoughts are what you got to clean up. It's the thoughts about stopping at enough. It's now it needs to transcend to, I love that I think through food now. I used to not. And that meant I couldn't wear tank tops. It meant I was full of shame and regret. Sometimes the food tasted really good, but all it really did was distract me from my self-loathing.
All right. That's awesome. That's perfect. I've got it. And the thing is, I plan, you know, good foods into every dinner.
Yeah.
So yay. Thank you so much. That makes perfect sense.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do want to tell all of you, it is so normal to have thoughts of like, I want to overeat. I want to just eat this. Like, I think a lot of times I watch you guys like struggle and suffer because it's like you want this purity of thoughts happening. It's like, if I just had this purity of thoughts, I wouldn't feel so bad. Wanting to overeat, wanting foods that aren't on your plan, that's not the problem. It's when you layer on top, I shouldn't be thinking this way. This is going to hurt me. Something must not be working because I'm still thinking like that. That bunch of thinking all has thoughts or all has feelings of shame. Like confusion, like frustration. That's what makes it all so hard. Like a lot of times I want stuff all the time. And I'm just like, well, that's normal. Just like today, I was already thinking about texting Chris and thinking, we should go out for drinks tonight. Like we're going to be gone this weekend drinking, but I'm just like, we should have drinks tonight. It's been a long day. I had 7 podcasts to do yesterday. Like my brain had amazing reasons why we should. And I didn't sit there going like, oh my God, am I ever going to quit wanting alcohol? That thought feels terrible. But when I was just wanting and just noticing it and telling myself, we don't really need it. Like that's normal. You've had a long 2 days. I can see why you're wanting that. Like when I was just explaining why these thoughts would populate, clarity is what I felt. Direction is what I felt. Understanding is what I felt. I didn't layer the shit sandwich with like a smear of piss on top of it. Jeannie Preskin. All right, let's get your video going.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can't see how to get the video going.
I've hit a little button that says ask to start video, so it should notify you on your side. There you go. You're getting it.
Yay! All right. There I am. Hi, Corinne. It's so nice. This is my first Queens coaching meeting. It's so
awesome.
Exciting to be here.
Yeah. What do you want coaching on?
Well, I have a couple of issues. I've lost weight many times before. Like, I'm 70, so you can imagine I have the whole long time behind me. And it seems like once I get to this point where I've lost about 25 to 30 pounds, it seems like I just start sabotaging. I don't know why. Now, I have been working on it through journaling. You know, you've taught me that, and I appreciate that so much. It's such a huge help.
Okay.
I am working on that. One of the fears I have right now, I never had it before, but I think it's just because I never thought about it until group members talked about it, is that hanging skin.
Okay.
Now, I know that I'm going to be much healthier. I'm going to feel better. You know, I'm going to have less fat around my organs and things. I know that, you know, in my mind, but every time I get a glimpse of my arm, you know, because I wear, you know, sleeveless sometimes, it just kind of makes me have a feeling of, you know, should I just stay where I am? And that's not right. I know it's not right. Talk me down.
Okay. So this is really common. Because most of us, 95% of us, let me bust everybody's bubble. 95% of us are going to lose our weight. No, actually 96% of us are going to lose our weight and not look like what society tells us we're supposed to.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to experience. And I want everybody to hear me when I say this, because I'm studying it like a boss right now. One of the things that we have, like one of the first steps to understanding body acceptance and being where we are, is understanding that a lot of the reason why we want to look a certain way is because we've always been shown images on magazines and on TV and all these other things of like a certain look in a certain way. When 96% of women are walking around underneath their clothes, never have looked that way.
Yes.
Ever. The rest of us with our hanging skin and all the things, we're the norm. And so, like, I think for what I'm reading and researching right now is really understanding we are the norm. This has given me a lot of, like, just that one thought has given me some relief. Just in, like, okay, so if we're the norm, now what? What do I want to be thinking about? And you're right. If you don't clean up your mindset around loose skin and hanging skin and what it can mean, then you will not want to keep losing weight, because if it's a bad thing, if loose skin, stretch marks, you know, not having muscles, whatever your thing is, like for me, it's like the way my legs look, all that stuff. If that's going to be defined as a bad thing, you lose your internal motivation to keep going. So like the first part, you're probably more just miserable. You just want to get some weight off. You just like, you're blah, blah, blah. You're more miserable being overweight in the way you look than you are with the misery of what you will look like when you lose the weight. But then the closer you get and you start seeing what you're afraid of, it makes a lot of us pump the brakes or go in reverse. And we do it unconsciously. And it's all because what we think about what that loose skin means, if it's scary, upsetting, frustrating, sad, disappointing, if it's any of those things, we will want to avoid feeling those things, which means we'll probably just start eating right now because that's going to feel good.
Sure.
We've lost our motivation.
Always.
Yeah. So it makes sense why we would do that. So the solve is for you to be thinking about, what is this loose skin going to mean? And this doesn't mean that we have to only be like, well, I'm in it for my health. Some people, that will get them very far. Like for my mother, you know, she's lost 115 pounds, something like that. Mamie got all the loose skin up and down every single place. And for her, though, her medical conditions were so bad that even though she noticed she was self-loathing around the loose skin, not going back to feeling like absolute health crap has been enough for her to be like, all right, I've got to come into grips with this and keep going because I want quality of life. For my mother, she's not going to have quality. She's 64 and she's got like lupus and Barrett's esophagus and she's got fallen feet and deformed ankles. So if Mammy puts on weight, she can't walk anymore. Right. Like this is the last thing that's ever, like literally, this is what's going to keep her mobile for a while. So she has a reason. And we're just working on now on her self-concept around having loose skin. For you, though, I want you to be thinking about what is this loose skin going to mean about Jeannie?
Well, I just think it's going to be ugly.
Right, but what else could you think about it? You don't have to go to it's beautiful, but there are 1,000 things to think about your skin other than it's ugly.
I have to think about that because.
What do you think I think about my loose skin when I see it? Like my first thought is, ugh, and then what? Then I got to have another story. Otherwise, I'm going to promise you, Jeannie, if I sat around and all I thought of all the time was my body's not good enough and it's never going to get any better and it looks gross and it's ugly. Do you think I could even do my job?
No, absolutely not.
I for sure wouldn't be able to keep the weight off.
So certainly I could think that, you know, I will look better in clothes. You know what I mean? I'll be covering up the loose skin. I can do that.
That's one thing you can think about for sure. I've thought that 1,000 times. I remember when I first started, like when I had like all the loose skin, I would tell myself, but I now get to wear clothes I never thought I could. Mm-hmm. I get to shop in places I never thought I could.
Well, I notice you wear a lot of sleeveless. So mm-hmm. your arms probably aren't that bad or aren't that much.
I would just tell you,
you've lost a lot of weight.
Let me be real honest. When I sit this way, they look amazing. Right. When I sit this way, you start seeing all of it. When I hold up my arm, you get to see all of it. When I'm fixing my hair, you get to see the new crepey skin that's developing.
I do too.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
But so, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What do you think I think about the most?
Of all the things you just talked about,
uh-huh.
That you can wear clothes that you've never been able to wear before, that you can shop in places you never were able to shop before, and that you look fantastic in clothes.
Yeah. I also think that it's part of getting older.
Mm, okay. Well, I'm already there.
Yeah. Like I just, and this is, and for me, crepey skin's a new thing.
Oh, yeah.
Crepey skin on top of loose skin is extra amazing.
Can I ask you this? Okay. As, you know, you're losing, you have the hanging skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lost 30 pounds so far, about 31.
Okay, good for you.
I am hoping to lose, you know, well over 100 more.
Okay.
So does it get smaller as you go on, or does it just keep hanging more and more?
The skin?
Yeah, the skin, that flab, you know, the whole thing. Because right now I don't have just skin. I have a whole lot of substance there.
Yeah. You're going to get smaller and smaller. So as you lose more weight, you are for sure going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. You're going to be able to wear smaller and smaller clothes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want you to focus on first, is that as you keep losing weight, you will get smaller, but you'll also have loose skin that comes along for the ride. But you'll also be like, this is the thing when it comes to, I don't want any of us fixing our bodies. I want us fixing our mindset around our bodies. You're going to get to be really proud that you're going to lose this weight, even if you have to, even if you lose skin is part of the price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm sure I'll feel better, lighter. You know, I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
The only health issue I have is I have a knee that is giving me problems.
Mm-hmm.
And my feet, I have
It'll probably feel better carrying less weight on it.
It feels better with every pound I lose. So yeah. I'm thinking it's going to feel a lot better. And then, so I know that it's to my advantage to continue.
Well, this is one of the things that I think that we have to remember when it comes to loose skin is like, I'm going to have thoughts about my loose skin. I am going to have loose skin. Sometimes I'm going to want to think it's ugly and I'm going to think these things too. Like for a while, if I could go back and redo all of it, because it took me a long time to unwrap a lot of my just body shame. When I first lost weight, Jeannie, I was actually really proud and I was all in on the loose skin at first. I just was like, I had never been able to buy clothes that were smaller. Like I just thought, I never have been able to walk around in clothes and feel good. So I was like, nobody sees me naked but my man. And I was like, Chris is all in on me. So I, like that for me, sure. Like was right there was enough. Then I did some bodybuilding competitions. And that's when all of my body dysmorphia really kicked in. It was bodybuilding competitions where you stand in the world's tiniest bikini. It's so tiny, it has to be glued to you so that you don't like... let something go by accident, literal glue. And then a panel of men sit there and tell you everything that's wrong with your body.
Oh my God.
And so that's just on show day. And then every week you go to your trainer as you're starving to get severely underweight and let him tell you everything that's wrong with your body. Even though my trainer was nice, that was his job. I paid him to tell me what my flaws were. So... ruined it for me. From that moment on, there was a certain look that I always compared myself to. There was like, now my loose skin's a problem. Like it introduced the whole idea that my body is a problem. My body is a problem. It's never going to be good enough. And I've been unwinding it for years. Mm-hmm. And what I've found is that I let my brain say things like, you know, you've got legs that nobody would ever want. You've worked so hard and this is all you get. Like my brain has a lot of doo-doo. And I think, and I'm going to wear shorts anyway. And I've worked too hard to just sit here and only think about this one part of my body. And like I go to ands all the time and it provides a lot of relief because if you only think about loose skin is ugly, that's not even a fact. Loose skin is a byproduct of you changing your life. That's also another thought about loose skin.
Great, great thought. Great.
Well, and that's one that's like, that I think about when I get so like ridiculously hard on myself about my legs. I'm like, there's 500,000 positive things I could be thinking about. Right now, I'm like obsessed over some scars and loose skin. And I just tell myself, and there's 500,000 other things to think about. Let's just go there. It's at some point we all have to figure out when we are thinking like an asshole and we just have to draw a line in the sand. And like loose skin is ugly is not a fact. It's my interpretation and it's wrong. And I know it's wrong because it makes me feel bad. And anything that makes me feel bad is not a fact. There is 10,000 plus women in this group. Most of us are going to have loose skin. And none of us are going to look at you and think you're ugly. We're all going to think, yeah, we all have loose skin. That's our thought. We all have it.
Okay.
All right, you keep going.
I'm going to keep going. I am. I'm going to journal about it and I'm going to get help and
take it to Ask Coaches. Like be the person who like join me in redefining to the world that we have to quit. Like I don't want to see anybody not lose their weight because they're afraid that they can't quit thinking loose skin's ugly and then end up with painful knees and taking years off their life. All because of an aesthetic that some people don't like. The vast majority of us have it.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yes, we just can't see it because it's covered.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Karen, I appreciate it. Thank
you. You're welcome. You keep going.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I will.
All right. Let's see. Angela Maynor. I don't want to take my glasses off. I foolishly take them off all the time. All right, let's get your video started.
Okay. Hi. Oh my gosh, I did not expect to get called on.
That's so funny. I love it when y'all raise your hand like, oh, I'm shocked. Now, if I had went to the bottom of the list and pulled some rando on a toilet off, they'd been like, oh, I'm shocked.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm coaching on, I guess, my compelling reason. And so I've been a member for a little while and I've been up and down. And I'm up right now, but my compelling reason, I really found one that truly means a lot to me. And it is, I want to be the person that hikes and kayaks and walks and bike rides and does all that. And I do that now.
Yeah.
So my compelling reason is kind of at odds with loving myself now, because like this past weekend, I went kayaking on Lake Superior, which was a huge bucket list for me. The whole time I did it, though, from the time we signed up, I was panicking. Oh, my God, am I going to get fit in the kayak? Am I going to do this? Am I going to be able to do that? And then once I was in the kayak, I was uncomfortable. I was kind of wedged in there. I was by far the biggest person there. And then I was like, oh, my God, when we were getting close to getting out. It was amazing, by the way. It was an incredible experience. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. But then the whole time on the way back to the boat, oh my God, am I going to be able to get out of this kayak because I am wedged in here. I am so wedged. And so my compelling reason and loving myself now are kind of at odds with each other.
How are they at odds? I don't understand why they're at odds.
Because like, I feel like because I want to do these things.
Yeah.
And I am doing them. But like all of the scariness as I'm doing it.
That's normal.
Okay. Okay.
I think my compelling reason would be to do all these things and get to a size where I never have to worry again if I'm going to fit into something.
Right. And that's exactly my, and because my knees hurt and stuff like that. And
what is wrong with that? Why are they in conflict is my question. Because I feel like
I'm struggling with the loving myself right now.
Which well, you can love yourself. You can say things like, I want to do these things. My future self is doing these things. I'm going to do them at this size because I'm brave enough to do it. I'm courageous enough to get on out there. And when I'm doing something brave, like here's the tricky part about bravery, love, and courage is they also come along with self-doubt, fear, most of the time anxiety.
Like, hell yeah.
To be courageous and to put yourself out there, you're also signing up for, like, nobody gets to practice courage until self-doubt has been felt. Or fear. That's the funny thing about courage. But you can be emphasizing those kinds of things. Then the self-love component is like, I love myself to do this enough right now, knowing that it's going to trigger sometimes fear and worry, self-doubt. It may trigger my body shaming. It probably will do all those things.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to hide from it. This the most unloving thing you can do for yourself is to know that, well, what if I get out there and I body shame? So I'll just stay home and I won't have any fun. I'll just keep letting everybody else in the world do the fun stuff, and I'll hide in my cave over here and earn my right out there. That's self-loathing.
Okay. Okay.
Not willing to experience anything your brain has to offer. And then teaching yourself, like when it's like, tell me something that it's like, did it self-loathe? While it felt like to me, you were just having normal thoughts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I'm going to fit.
Right. And so then I was kind of like, we signed up on a Friday. No, we signed up on Thursday. It wasn't until Saturday that we went. And I was kind of panicked the whole time.
Like, what was driving the panic, though? What thoughts drove panic?
I didn't know if I was going to fit. If I was going to be, I knew that we were going to be in a boat, me and my husband together. And I knew we would be in together. I didn't want to tip. What if I tipped? What if I got you? Then I can't get back.
But that's all normal thinking. And you can also, to calm yourself down a little bit and say, and I'm so proud of myself for going anyway. Even with all this insecurity, with all my worries, with all my questions, I'm also, this is what being an obese woman really is about.
Okay.
I go and do the things that I've always told myself I couldn't because of my size. And you get to use that as your compelling reason. You can say, I can't wait for the day I go and easily fit into that kayak with my husband because I've solved. I never have to worry again if I'll fit.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. Yep. I've been like writing about it and I've been ruminating about it all and thinking about it and thinking of how I was going to ask my question. And I think you kind of straightened me out. Thank you.
You're welcome. You keep doing these things. You need to be very proud of yourself.
Okay.
Like I think about when I first started, you know, like, going to the gym, the first body pump classes I took. I mean, I was wearing Chris's clothes. I didn't know how to do dick in the damn gym. I didn't even know what most of the machines were. When I went to body pump, I was like in the back because I didn't want anybody to see my ass struggling, all those kinds of things. But I kept putting myself into these situations where I was self-loathing. I was worried. I felt some shame because I thought, yeah, but I also want to solve this problem. I would much rather be the person in the gym going through that and learning how to talk to herself, learning how to be brave, learning how to exercise, learning how to change her life than to be the one sitting at home thinking she can't do it.
Yeah.
I'll make that trade every day. And that's you.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to have to rewatch this because I'm kind of like in a fog right now. But thank you so, so very much.
You're welcome. All right. Bye. Bye-bye. All right. We're just getting through the queens today. We still got time for one more. Let me put my glasses back on. Let's see. Kelly Porath. Hey, Kelly.
Hey.
All right. What are we coaching on?
Okay.
We almost look alike. The glasses, the black, my hair. I'm finally going to look like some of my long-haired clients.
I love your hair. It's great.
Thank you.
I just made it to Queen's Club, and then I had rotator cuff surgery this summer. So I think you've coached me before on exercising. I'm addicted to exercising, so I've taken up some different exercising. But what I've been journaling about now, and I'm not sure how to turn this around, is because I've been kind of stuck for a while. And I know my data says that I'm not following my plan, so I know that I have work to do there. But there's this little thought in my head that keeps going off saying, I'm doing so much better than I ever was before.
Okay.
So, like, I'm not eating a box of ding dongs or anything like that. So then that's frustrating. Then I go to that whole, maybe I can't lose weight, or am I afraid of losing weight because I've been doing this all my life trying to lose weight?
So your data is telling you that you're overeating.
Yep.
And your thoughts are, but I'm doing so much better than I used to because I'm not eating a sleeve of ding dongs.
Right.
Rather than when you see your data saying overeating, you could be thinking, I am doing a lot better than I used to. I wonder what the next level up is.
Right. And I had a huge overhaul in my brain when we did the sabotage camp, the self-sabotage mm-hmm. camp. I mean, I just, all of a sudden I was doing super wonderful and it just felt different in my head.
Okay.
And I'm a teacher. And so the very last week of school, parents started bringing treats.
Okay.
And I was like, I can't throw them away.
Why not?
And I felt, because I knew how expensive they were. And
it you didn't. Did they all leave the price tags on them?
No.
Right. No. So that's a thought that will never serve you. Right. I know how expensive they were. Did they, let me ask you this. Did they give you the treats? So they're like, I'm going to give Kelly expensive food. And the only way that I'm going to feel good about Kelly is if I know somewhere deep in my soul that she actually ate it.
I don't think so.
No. Why did they give you the food? Why did they give you the treats?
It was to thank me for.
Right. So like when we, so just for in the future, for all of you, when you get gifts of food, remember why you got them to begin with. They've already gotten their value out of it. You don't make it more valuable when you eat it. The value they're getting in is the exchange of gratitude. I would love to express my gratitude, and this is how I do it. They're not going to feel any more gratitude. They're not going to feel anything else when you go home and eat it. Now it's like, now the ball's in my court. I get to feel appreciated because of what I think. I could be thinking about this food. This is a beautiful way to show appreciation. This is how they like to show appreciation. I feel appreciated. They must like the work I do. We could be thinking about it like that versus, oh Lord, that's food. That's expensive. I better eat that shit. Notice how you miss out on all the gratitude and the appreciation. Like the whole intention of the exchange of food is cheapened. It cheapens the experience at that point.
And I don't think that's where my brain went so much as I felt like I was on a roll since camp. And then obviously I haven't worked through my feelings about sweets and being able to have sweets, because it was like that opened a floodgate and let me.
No, there's no floodgates that can be open, y'all. Like, listen to how you're talking about all this. Somebody brought you in a treat and your thought was, that's expensive. I should eat it. You've already told me what the whole problem was. Now you're like, I've obviously got a problem with sweets. I've never had control. It's like, that is not true. Okay. You were brought a gift of food and you didn't listen to your thoughts.
Okay.
The reason why I'm pointing this out is because you ain't going to get back on track if you think you've got a big fat problem to solve. And you're just like, grin, but there's also this going on. I was on such a roll and now I fell into a big dark hole. Like all these things. It's like, listen to your language. I want you to talk about it really boring. I went to self-sabotage camp. Shit was working. Somebody brought in some treats. I thought, that's expensive. I should eat it. You should probably think about that different next time it happens. I don't have a problem with sweets. I have a problem with thinking that food's expensive and forget that it's an exchange of emotions. Do you know, so like I talk about it very authoritatively,
right?
And you're like so desperate for this to be a really big problem that you're like, you're just looking for more threads to pull.
I agree. Yeah. I'm trying to look for what's wrong, what I need to solve.
I know, it's laying in your data, overeats.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like sometimes I even hesitate teaching you guys about self-sabotage and stuff because y'all just like, it's almost like there's a comfort level in knowing that if it's an elusive unconscious problem, then I can just kind of sit back and do nothing about it. I can just keep kind of I can feel the comfort of confusion.
Yeah.
This is out of my, I must be so far gone. It's like, no. Like, so what is the number one overeat you got going on for this week that you can solve?
It is.
Who gives a fuck about the past?
It is continuously eating after dinner.
Why don't we double down on that rather than worrying about what some parent gave you a month or two ago?
Right. No, I started working with my accountability partner. We were doing basics 2.0 and I've started a really good plan for myself. I just need to keep following through.
So what's it going to take to not eat tonight after dinner?
I have to keep looking at my post-it notes that I've been putting out that remind
me. That's one thing, but what do you like to eat at night?
Pretty much whatever I see.
So if I laid a head of broccoli out on the table, you'd be like, ooh, thank God Corinne brought broccoli. I'm like, it's 8 o'clock.
No, not broccoli.
All right. So let's watch our language. This is what I want you to notice. I'm going to really coach you hard. Okay. Because this is everybody's fucking problem. You're talking about things like they're huge problems. It's almost like, do you teach English or literature?
Special ed.
Oh, well, I just figured it had to be literature because you're writing a novel, a juicy one for all of us. All right. So it's anything I see. No, it's not.
Anything sweet. Yeah.
Okay. So we can keep narrowing down. So if there's at 8 o'clock at night, is there a certain time at night?
It is anytime after 6, basically.
Okay. So after 6 o'clock, my brain starts wanting sweets.
Mm-hmm.
Way different than I have a problem eating after dinner and I want anything I see. Do you see how just even getting specific about it at least lets you, your brain knows, all right, at 6 o'clock, it's probably going to send up messages wanting something sweet. So is your goal to eat nothing? Is your goal to plan them deliberately right now? What is your goal right now to solve this problem?
My goal is to close the kitchen at 6:30. So okay. I kind of give myself a little bit of a window between dinner and that time to have a little bit of something if I've planned it.
Okay, but I don't want any windows. Listen to this. I give myself a little window. That's like saying, just in case I want it and I don't want to be uncomfortable, I've got 30 minutes to get some food down.
And that's the problem that I had last night.
Right. So that's notice how when you talk about it that way, it's like, what if we just say for the next 7 days, I'm going to plan what I'm going to have at 6 o'clock and it's going to be sweet. And I'm going to sit down. You got to eat it though differently than you always do. This is the only condition on your plan. I don't care what you put on there. And I don't want it to be what do you typically eat?
Probably my husband is always making banana bread.
How much?
Just a couple of slices, but they're not on my plan because I don't know when he's baking. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want you to plan that every single night you're going to have a sweet, but you got to know in the morning. You need to tell him, look, bitch, if you're going to make some banana bread, I want to know in advance because now I'm putting it on my plan. Okay. There's is he such an asshole? He's like, no, I only want to cook spontaneously and I want you in the dark at all times.
Well, no, because I can say no. I mean, he'll do his thing and I can say no. I have the power.
I know you can say no, but could you also just say I love you and I also love your banana bread. Could you give me a heads up because I make my plan in the morning I'd love to know to put it on my plan so I don't have to sit there at night and think about maybe having it or maybe not having it. I just like to have it and enjoy it. Could we have that conversation?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. You're either going to take authority over your mouth or you're going to keep abdicating it to your husband, which is, well, I don't know when he makes things. I mean, he cooks and he just, you know, it just banana bread just appears.
Yeah.
Like that sucks for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're setting it up to where it's either I say no or I eat it off plan. And I want you to just be like, I want to plan it. Yeah. I'll just ask him, like ask him at dinner tonight. Hey, you going to make some sweets tomorrow? I sure would like to get that on my plan. So Next 7 days, we're going to plan it. Okay. And then we're going to plan it and we're going to eat it in a deliberate way.
Okay.
You're not to like stand in the kitchen and eat it. I don't know how you're normally eating it. Are you
on the couch in front of the TV?
Well, we're not even going to do that.
Okay.
All right. I don't want you to eat it the way you normally eat it.
Okay.
I want you to actually enjoy it.
Right.
Because right now you're not. You think you are. Right now you're escaping the discomfort of saying no.
Right.
Which is very different because if you really enjoy it, you don't feel regret and you don't need coaching over it.
Okay.
Big difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're going to plan it for 7 days. We're going to put it on the plan. And I want you to put what you would normally eat on there.
Okay.
And I want you to actually sit down each night and I want you to have it. And I want you to tell yourself, you have permission to eat this. And every single night, if we want a sweet, we're just putting it on our plan. And the rest of the day, like if you want to have sweets at night, you tell yourself at dinner, hey, I can't wait to have sweets. Maybe I'll eat a little less dinner and I'll have my sweet. That's how we like add balance. And then, but what a lot of you end up noticing is that when you do this, you start noticing, you start thinking through if you really want it or not. If it's as good as you always think, or if it's an escape hatch to just a desire. If it's just a way to like, if it's just like you get to learn so much about you.
Yeah.
So let's practice eating it with control and total enjoyment in a way where you can lose weight, where you start noticing that sweets really are not in control of you. But it's like, I can have these foods and it's okay. And sometimes I may actually choose not to have it and it'll also be okay. It won't have to be willpower, restriction, either or. It won't have to be those things anymore.
All right.
All right. You got this.
Okay.
Thank you. Friday. You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. For all of you, I think that was a really important one. For those of you who are eating after, I want to tell you that in the month of August, we are doing Urges 2.0. It's either Urges 2.0. I think it's Urges 2.0. Yasmin will correct me. We're either doing Overeating 2.0 or Urges 2.0, but I think we went with Urges because we really want to focus in on the desire to eat. You know, we've already taught you in Basics 2.0 all about finding enough and that kind of stuff. So if you're struggling with just finding enough, go take Basics 2.0. That will be a great lesson for you. But for some of us, we really need to hone in on the desire, the want, and the urge to eat. And so we're going to be spending our entire month of August really studying and doubling down on urges. Okay. All right. Y'all have a good one, Queens. I will see you next month. Bye, y'all.